SiriusXM presents Stanford Pathfinders.
Stanford has 225,000 alumni living all over the globe in 151 countries, and they're some of the most amazing people you would ever want to meet.
A show about how the graduates of Stanford University are changing our lives and the world.
We'll hear very interesting things from business leaders in the technology sector, but well beyond that, the worlds of politics, entertainment, business, and beyond.
Inspiring stories from America's innovation heartland.
It's a place where people look to the future, not to the past, where they don't rest on their laurels. Think about the gold rush. Think about Stanford being formed in the late 1800s. And then Stanford was the beginning of Silicon Valley. And the ethos of Silicon Valley is deeply embedded in the Stanford spirit. It's a spirit of innovation, experimentation. It's a spirit of being willing to try new things and risk failure as long as you fail forward.
Welcome to Stanford Pathfinders.
Co-founder and CTO at Open.
This is something that I think could bring so much value to people's lives. That's how I realized the benefits and saw it firsthand.
A mindfulness studio.
We produce incredible experiences and classes. Those classes can show up in a digital format or in person.
This week on Stanford Pathfinders, Peter Tsang. Now, here's your host, Howard Wolf.
Well-being has never been more topical than it is today. Advice on how to achieve well-being is found seemingly everywhere these days, from legacy media to social media and all mediums in between. But well-being continues to elude most all of us. At the end of the day, well-being is easy to discuss, but difficult to achieve. Really difficult to achieve. Today's guest on Stanford Pathfinders, Peter Tsang, from the Stanford class of 2014, intends to change that reality through Open, a startup that he has helped co-found. Open is a mindfulness studio that offers social space for meditation, movement, and practice, both on and offline. The company wants to strengthen the mind-body connection, and in so doing, make well-being flourish. Can I hear a collective amen to that? Peter, welcome to the show.
Howard, thank you for having me here.
All right, so we're here today because we really want to learn about your startup. But before we do that, I want to just spend a couple of minutes talking about your background at Stanford. So first question, obvious question, I ask it of all my guests, why Stanford?
Yeah, I was born into a house divided. Mom went to Cal, dad went to Stanford. But what tipped the scales was born at Stanford Hospital and the gravitational pull just sucked me in.
So you were a part of an interfaith marriage, I see. Cal and Stanford. Okay. And you went one way. Good for you. Now, favorite Stanford memory?
This is a really tough one. I think, you know, there's so many memories across landing freshman year at Donner to staffing in 680. But one that really comes to mind is actually an academic one. And it was a senior capstone project. It stood really as a culmination of everything that I'd learned at Stanford. And we worked on this project, which we ended up calling No Goat. And our initial TA said, hey, guys, this project, it's not going to be feasible. We were looking to take a picture of our handwritten notes and turn that into an actual digital transcript. And we came together, really applied everything that we learned and pulled through. And it really served as one of these memories of, you know, Stanford, you can come and you can build and you can create. So that was a highlight for me looking back.
Speaking of building and creating, you've built and created a startup that I find absolutely fascinating. In preparation for this discussion, I downloaded the app on my iPhone and I've started to actually engage, and this is not my world. All right, so what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about Open. I want you to tell us, what is Open and what was the problem you were trying to solve in creating this business?
There's a lot of ground to cover here, so hopefully we can move into different parts, but Open really at its core is a mindfulness studio. And
what is mindfulness?
Yeah, that word means so many different things to different people. I think the mental prototype that typically shows up in people's minds when they hear the word mindfulness is someone sitting cross-legged, pushing out their thoughts in a dark room. And for us, the definition is much, much broader than that. So maybe I can share a little bit about my personal story and how that led me to Open.
Perfect.
But I definitely came from this background where that's what I thought mindfulness was. I actually took a 10-week program at Stanford. It was a mindfulness class and tried and failed. So after the 10 weeks, I said, great, that's not for me. I'd rather do all these other things. And for many years, that was in 2013. For many years, that's what I had in my mind. Mindfulness means you're sitting alone in a dark room, pushing out your thoughts. And it wasn't really until I intersected with my co-founder and CEO, Ride, that he introduced me to a much broader definition. And for us, you know, mindfulness is really any activity that helps you be present. And so I attended one of the things that he was putting together. And here we were breathing to the beat of curated music. We were mixing different techniques to get together. There is mind and body in a single experience. And that was what delivered an aha moment for me where, wow, I actually felt different in 20 minutes, which stands kind of in contrast to what people typically think about.
So when you say present in the moment, you mean being totally focused on that moment and not thinking about what you have to do after work or what groceries you have to pick up or what your kids' responsibilities are or anything. You are there.
Exactly. And so mindfulness often is thought of as this technique, but really it can be something that you bring into your daily life. And it ranges, you know, mindfulness is being used by professional athletes. You think of Kobe Bryant and the Mamba mentality, and he's applying mindfulness to how he plays the game of basketball. When he's going for a game-winning free throw and he's feeling a little bit of fear, instead of, you know, his mind drifting away from that, he's actually letting it sit with the fear and unpacking it so that he can play the game to the best of his capabilities. That's one end of the spectrum. You start speaking with artists, and when they describe their philosophy around art, they really start to speak about similar principles that are showing up in Buddhism and Taoism and Stoicism and all these other disciplines. And so I think people might have this esoteric notion of what mindfulness is, and yet naturally it's already happening in their lives and we're just kind of naming what's already there. So an example that maybe I can give that can make things more practical.
Sure.
You think about like running as an activity. This is, you know, thought of as a fitness exercise. You can run mindfully, where your attention is brought fully to every single step that you're taking. You're paying attention to the way that your foot pads are striking the ground. You're paying attention to the lactic acid that's building up in your quads as you're going through it. It's really reflecting where your awareness is going. Another example is having a tough conversation. You know, say you're chatting with your spouse and you're starting to notice some frustration or anger. If you can bring mindfulness into that activity and become aware of the frustration that's showing up in your body, you can choose to respond in a way as opposed to react. And so these are ways in which mindfulness can come into everyday life as opposed to being thought of just as this technique.
And why is mindfulness beneficial?
So many reasons. I think it kind of gets at the core of, you know, what we want to do as humans, which is, you know, be the best version of ourselves. And so you can definitely stratify things into neat buckets. There's cognitive benefits, there's emotional benefits, there's spiritual benefits as well. But at its core, some of the benefits are just being connected to yourself and to those around you.
So back to the founding of Open. So how did you meet your founder partner? What was it in your background that made this so resonant? I know that you've taken the class at Stanford and had a bad experience with mindfulness. Give us a little bit more of that.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a bad experience, so much it was really traditional. And for kind of the modern consumer, you have all these product experiences that are highly engaging. And so thinking about back to the world of fitness, with fitness, there are these brands that have stood up that reliably help people have a kick-ass workout. If you go to a Barry's Bootcamp, if you go to a SoulCycle, you know that as long as you show up and enter those doors, you're going to leave, you know, sweating. And it's this consistency that's so helpful for the everyday American. And then when you think about the world of mindfulness, there aren't these experiences out there that can get you to presence every single time. And so that's what was so resonant for me as someone who had tried and failed was the fact that the experience, I actually felt different in the span of 20 minutes. And that was using something called breath work, which we could spend a lot more talking about. And so that's kind of where the resonance came through, was that first experience that actually delivered the goods.
So when you started Open, were you trying to solve a specific problem? Like, did you say, we have an epidemic of mental health issues in America today? Mindfulness will help these folks who are dealing with mental health issues. Was it to sort of counter stress in life? What was the problem? Stanford entrepreneurs always seem to want to fix a problem. What was the problem you were trying to solve?
Yeah, I mean, there's both a macro problem, and you nailed it, in terms of mental health and, yeah, you know, that being something that I want to dedicate 10 years working on. Then there's kind of the personal anecdote of, you don't really want to work on something unless you feel the benefits directly. And so it kind of reminds me of a Charlie Munger quote, don't sell something you wouldn't buy. And so for me, I entered really skeptical. I had this great first time experience. And then, I went on kind of this expedition where I wanted to figure out, on a personal level, can mindfulness bring value to my life? I ended up going on a Vipassana retreat, which is a 10-day silent meditation retreat. You give up all connection with society. You hand over your cell phone. There's no entertainment. It's essentially like a vegan fat camp mixed with prison, mixed with a little bit of transformation in there.
Peter, you can see my face right now. This would be my ultimate nightmare.
No, Howard, I think you could do it. Let's.
I don't know.
I'll set expectations. I'm a believer in Howard Wolf. I think a lot of people can, and there's this doubt. But to expand a little bit more about, you know, what we did at this program, the first idea of spending 10 hours a day plus, you know, sitting in a very traditional seated meditation, you know, that sounded really hard. But what you didn't expect was, imagine you're on a road trip, you know, your knees start to hurt, your butt starts to hurt after an 8-hour road trip. Now, multiply that by 10, your body is on fire during this whole endeavor. And you're asked to maintain these positions while you're in pain. And you're asked not only to maintain these positions, but to also find joy throughout the process. And so, you know, what I walked away from with that experience was, hey, if you can change your mindset and find joy in the most uncomfortable situations, you know, what can't you do? And so that to me was this litmus test that, yes, I do want to work on this for, you know, a decade at a time. This is something that I think could bring so much value to people's lives. That's how I realized the benefits and saw it firsthand. But the macro factors that you started to touch on there, mental health, it was, prior to the pandemic, a huge issue. It was, and now more than ever, you know, we feel that Open is picking up our pitchfork and joining the fight that, you know, a lot of other great healthcare institutions and companies are taking on to tackle mental health. And that's showing up in stress, that's showing up in loneliness, anxiety, depression, mental illness at, you know, an alarming 20% of all adults are experiencing mental illness. And that's just on what's reported. And so, you know, we see this really as an opportunity to take tools that already exist and simplify them, make it so easy to integrate into your life to work on this much broader problem of mental health.
Let's get very specific here. So the listeners, yeah, know what we're talking about. Is Open a website? Is it an app?
Yeah.
How does it work? What do you do?
Absolutely. Open is a mindfulness studio, and we produce incredible experiences and classes. Those classes can show up in a digital format or in person. So yes, we've got an app and a web product, and you can take these at home digitally, you know, 5 minutes, just grabbing into your pocket, longer form experiences. You can do live classes with other people at the same time and practice together. And there's an in-person element to this business. So we're launching our first physical space here in Venice, and that's going to land September of this year. And so we actually started a little bit more of the history for Open. We started with just the in-person side. And Ryan and I were teaching these classes ourselves. You know, we trained with all the best and the worst in various disciplines to figure out how we could bring forth something that actually affected people in a serious way. And so this in-person side has been really core to us. And, you know, the consumer wants us in both formats. They want you conveniently at home, and then they want to go with a friend into the studio for 45 minutes. And so that's where we show up in the world.
Fantastic. Okay. So where did the name come from?
We're almost too excited when we got the trademark for Open. You know, there's been all these milestones in the company and the business, and this might've been the one that we celebrated the most. Just funny looking back. It came out of, you know, a long session of putting a bunch of names on a board where we thought we could get the trademark for it. And we thought we could get a reasonable domain name. But for us, we were really excited about Open because of, you know, the different connotations that are out there about the word. And that starts with, you know, having an open mind. And then, you know, the fact that those four letters are on every single business across the world in the open sign. Was another element that we were really excited about.
Love it. All right. So you started off talking a little bit about mindfulness and about how most people think about sitting in a room cross-legged on a mat and trying to sort of rid yourself of all these other ideas. But when I went on your site, you've got all kinds of different ways to do this. So one is breathing.
Yep.
Another one has to do with movement. Kind of walk us through the different buckets that your classes are focused on and what we could expect if we were to experience it.
Yeah, there's three things that are on the menu. You can breathe, you can move, or you can meditate. Each of those experiences actually drawing from ingredients from the other two. So our signature movement class, that's gonna kick off with some breathing exercises. And, you know, would love to tell you more about breathwork and all of that. But that's really activating for people. It's then going to move into some movement that'll have yoga elements in there. It'll have some Pilates elements. It'll even have elements of high intensity interval training. And then the class will wrap up with a grounding meditation, and that could draw from many different things. So, you know, each class really is a mix of different things that we think is really effective to help people get to this thing called presence.
This is Stanford Pathfinders. I'm Howard Wolf. Coming up, I'll ask Peter Tsang, what is special about the Open platform? Next on Sirius XM Business Radio, channel 132. Welcome back to Stanford Pathfinders. I'm Howard Wolf, and I'm talking with Peter Tsang, co-founder of Open, a mindfulness studio devoted to wellness through meditation, movement, and practice. So I'm not, you know me well enough to know that I'm not your meditation sort of guy. And so if somebody's not a meditation sort of person, you just don't see yourself that way. Your classes seem to have a little bit of everything, so you can find in it what you like.
Yeah, that's for me, I came from that background as well of, I had tried and failed. I had said this was not for me. And so part of the ingredients that are mixed into the class are things where you can actually feel how it's impacting your body. So to specifically talk about breath work, which I've kind of been hinting at, when you breathe in a very specific pattern, it changes your physiology. You're going to change the pH levels that are in your bloodstream, and you're going to start to feel specific sensations that you wouldn't get if you were just doing a normal meditation. And so that gives the beginner something to rest their mind on and say, oh, that's what changed. And that's really critical when you're trying to do something that's new. If you're doing something that's new and you don't feel the difference, it's hard to develop a habit around it. It's hard to go any deeper.
Got it. You mentioned earlier that you were in Venice. That's not Venice, Italy. That's Venice Beach in Southern California. Why is this based? Why are you based in Southern California? What was the reason for that?
Yes. Thanks for the clarification there. We started off in San Francisco, and we selected Venice and LA for a lot of great reasons. The first is we have a digital studio that has a production unit to it. And the Hollywood talent that's here in LA is quite helpful for us in standing up that business operation. So that was, you know, the first checkbox. The second was LA is, you know, in many ways, the wellness capital of the world. And so there's phenomenal teachers that are here in the broader region. And so that was kind of check number two. And then the last one, just in Silicon Beach becoming, you know, more and more a tech ecosystem, that was the third one. And each of those tie back to how the company is a composition of three things: a media company, a technology company, and a mindfulness company.
Got it. So I've got to believe that you have competitors. Every company has competitors. Who are your competitors and what differentiates you from them?
Yeah, no, I think especially in this space, we think of it less as competition and zero-sum game and more as, you know, rivals that are also working on the same thing. And there's different buckets, right? So there's meditation apps, there's boutique fitness, which we think of as, you know, another thing that consumers, you know, spend their time and, you know, money on as well. Entertainment, you know, therapy, there's all these things that are delivering great value for consumers. And, you know, we don't pretend to be able to replace all of these things. We work in concert with this broader ecosystem. But for us, you know, some of the elements that are really special about Open is the fact that it's hybrid, the fact that it's not just digital, it's in person. And that, you know, for whatever needs you have, there's an open solution for you. So that's one that's really critical. The other is this approach that came out of, you know, how we founded the company, teaching these classes ourselves and really putting ourselves in the position of teachers. We found this mixture, which we call, you know, a mixed methodology. And that is really critical to the Open experience as well.
Love that. All right. So let's get into the businessy side of things. I know that it's not a zero-sum game with your competitors. I appreciate that framing. Thank you for that correction. But what's the business model? How do you guys make money? How will you be able to grow?
Yeah. On the digital side, it's really simple. You know, it's a subscription business. You can pay $20 a month or $150 for the year. And what that gives you is unlimited access to the platform. So, you know, fresh meditations every single day, a growing on-demand library, live classes where you can breathe, move, and meditate and practice with your friends. So that's the digital side of the business. As we launch, you know, our first studio, that business model will be transactional. So you'll pay per class, it'll be a la carte, but there's going to be an interplay between the two. So the fact that you're a digital member means that you're going to get, you know, a really great rate on that class. And so there's going to be incentive there and the business models will speak to each other.
And you're venture-backed?
Venture-backed, yes. So we've raised 14.5 to date. Founders Fund and A Capital, Sousa Ventures and Aglai have been some of our majority supporters.
And I'm curious, were your venture investors, were they people who were into mindfulness, into meditation, into movement, or are they just, you know, capitalistic venture folks who were looking at a business opportunity, or were they a combination of both?
Yeah, a combination of both. I think not everyone is, you know, deep into mindfulness and backing it from that place. But there is an appreciation of, you know, what it can do for mental health that is part of the decision calculus.
And when you talk about decision calculus, when you're deciding how to market Open and you're trying to figure out who your target market is, as I've listened to you talk about your company, it's sort of, you can make the case it's everyone, right? But you can't market to everyone. So who are you going after, at least at the onset here?
You nailed it. We definitely think that this can be brought into every person's life. And, you know, on a practical basis, you have to have focus. And so, you know, right now we're mostly serving folks that are already aware and engaged with mindfulness. So people that have some experience with yoga, breathwork, meditation. And over the lifetime of the business, really trying to figure out how we can bring in people who've got no experience at all. And so, 14% of Americans have tried meditation.
14%.
14%. But
that surprises me. That's more than I would have thought.
And the bigger opportunity, this is also an outdated stat that was from like 2019. So, I actually think it's probably a bit larger. But the big opportunity is figuring out how can you bring this thing that works to the lives of the 86%, the people who aren't familiar, who've tried and failed. And so that's where we're going to go over kind of the arc of this company's go-to-market.
And does it, do your users skew young versus old, or do you see any kind of age demographic information here?
Yeah, it's kind of most pointed right now at the millennial cohort.
Millennials.
But we see a lot of fans from the Gen Z. And gosh, that's made me sound really old saying fans from the Gen Z. But we'll keep that on the record.
Well, Gen Z though, they prioritize mental health unlike any generation that preceded them. So it would seem like this would be a ripe target market for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Gen Z they're experiencing mental health. They're more aware that there are issues and they're still looking for solutions. So you're totally right there. Gen Z is definitely searching for solutions like this.
They joke that WeWork used to focus on, raising the world's consciousness, right? That became sort of a meme. But in your life, you really want open to increase well-being across the country, across the world.
Yes. At our core, we are focused on well-being. And for us, mindfulness is the gateway to well-being.
Mindfulness is the gateway to well-being. Peter, that is a wonderful concluding sentence. I think it does a great job of capturing what you're doing here. I must just share with you and the listeners that I was standing in line to get lunch the other day, and it was a long line, and I pulled out my phone and I opened up a breathing exercise and I actually did it. I would never in a million years have done that had I not downloaded your app and perhaps gotten ready for this conversation. So thank you for making that a part of my life, and thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Howard. Had a great time.
Thank you for listening to Stanford Pathfinders on SiriusXM. Listen to this and other episodes anytime on demand with the SiriusXM app or wherever you like to find your podcasts.